Please take your Bible, find Revelation 21 as for our scripture this morning. We're going to, I'd like to begin a series of sermons for the next couple of Sundays on the sufferings of Christ. It's Lent. And what Christ went through for us. What he did for us. I think we take it for granted. I don't think we realize what the cross meant to him. And so I'd like to explore that. Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Have you ever thought about heaven? Have you ever really sat down and thought about heaven? Have you ever wondered what it will be like? What you'll do there? What you will see there? Who you will see there? Some 9-year-olds were asked about death and about heaven. And Jimmy said, "Well, when you die, they bury you in the ground and your soul goes to heaven. But your body can't go to heaven because it's too crowded up there." Judy said, "Okay, only the good people go to heaven. The other people go to where it's hot, like Florida." Louisiana, maybe. Johnny said, "Well, maybe I'll die someday. But I hope it's not on my birthday. Because it's no fun to celebrate your birthday if you're dead." And Marcia commented, "When you die, you don't have to do homework anymore. Unless your teacher's there too." The contemporary music group Mercy Me, and you know this, recently recorded a song, a powerful song, one of my favorites, about heaven and trying to imagine what it might be like. And of course, it's called, as you know, "I Can Only Imagine." I can only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you, just be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. The Bible tells us that heaven is a real place. In Revelation 21, John sees a holy city, the New Jerusalem. And John describes a city surrounded by high walls with 12 gates and 12 angels. And he said the gates were made of pearls and the street was made of gold. And an angel pulled out a measuring rod and shouted out the city's dimensions. It's a real place. And heaven's a place of perfect holiness. The Bible says that God is pure and he's perfect and he's without sin. And that makes him holy. And because of his holy nature, he hates sin. Well, if God inhabits heaven, then heaven must be a sinless place. Because God and sin cannot inhabit the same space at the same time. They can't. So heaven must be a sinless place. a holy place. I also think that heaven's a place of untiring service and work. In Louisiana, I did real good, I want you to know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday, I was hurting. Friday, I was really hurting. I just ran out of gas. Kept going, kept working, but I got tired. But in heaven, you don't get tired. We know that in the beginning, God worked. He worked 6 days, and it says on the seventh day, he rested. So God works. We know that Adam and Eve worked in the garden. Jesus worked. Jesus said, my food is to do, that's an action verb, to do the will of him who sent me and to finish, that's an action word, finish his work. God works, Jesus works, Adam and Eve works. God is a worker, and you and I know what, we're made in his image. We're made in his image, so we're workers too. So I think we're going to have work to do in heaven. But it'll never be boring. It'll never be drudgery. Oh, I got to get up again this morning. Will we like that at all? I had a poster in college, Snoopy poster, hanging on my wall in my dorm room. It was a flip side. It's two pictures. On one side, Snoopy is happy, and he's dancing on top of his doghouse, and he's just being joyful. And it says, good morning, Lord. Turn the poster over, and he's slumped over on his house and like this, and it says, good Lord is morning. In heaven, every single day is, good morning, Lord. Let's get to it. We got stuff to do. It'll be satisfying, enriching, and you know what? We're not going to work for a paycheck. We're going to work for him. We're going to work for his glory. No bad economies in heaven. Praise the Lord. So to quickly summarize all that, heaven's a real place. It's a place you can see, touch, smell, feel, experience. It's real. Heaven's a holy place. There's no sin there, which also means there's no pain, there's no sickness, there's no loneliness, there's no poverty, there's no hate, there's no death in heaven. And it's an exciting place. We're going to work and we're going to play all for God's glory. I really hope there's a ski slope up there. And amen, brother. Those clouds are up there for something. And of course, there's got to be guitar. So anyway, it's going to be an exciting place. I remember one time hearing Billy Graham say, you know how when we experience a death in a family, we lose a loved one and it hurts and it's painful and there's that loneliness and we wish so bad that we could have them back. You know, we wish so bad that we still had mom or we could have dad back or we could have our spouse back or whatever. And Billy Graham said, you know what? Your loved one who's passed away, they don't want to come back. I thought, wow. Heaven is so awesome and so incredible. They don't want to come back. They want you to join them. But they don't want to come back. That got me really thinking. Raises a question. If heaven is so awesome and so incredible, you know, and once you're there, nobody wants to come back. You want to stay there. Why did Jesus leave heaven? What was he thinking? Why did he leave and come down here? Was he having a bad day? Why did he do that? If I had a choice, send somebody else. I'm staying here. And I think you do the same thing. Why did he leave the holiness, the constant praise and worship of angels? They come down here. In heaven, Jesus had everything. He had all the glory and praise of heaven. He, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, reigned over the universe. Why would anybody give that up? Take your Bible, please. Find Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Paul tries to put some of that into words. Philippians 2. We have 1 through 11, but I think we're going to go to verse 5, okay? Right to verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Paul says, your attitude, you know, your mind, the way you look at things, the way you think, should be the same as that of Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, a slave, a nobody. Being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Even death on a cross. We'll stop there. But note the phrase, made himself nothing. And the other phrase, he humbled himself. The Greek word here is kenosis. It means that Christ voluntarily emptied himself of his divine glory to become a man. Jesus left his throne in heaven to be born in a human body in a filthy, stinking stable, to be born into a very poor Jewish family. In heaven, he had everything. Now he's got nothing. To be subjected to a pagan government, Rome. Remember the Roman army? Rome had lots of gods. But remember the Roman army? Who did they worship? Who was their god? Caesar. Jesus left reigning the universe to come to earth to be ruled over by some guy named Caesar, a pagan. To feel hunger, pain, thirst, loneliness. None of those exist in heaven. Not a one. But to feel hunger, pain, thirst, and loneliness just like you and me. And to top it all off, he dies a horrible, horrible death on a cross. Why? He didn't have to do that. I would have done it. Why? Last night, right here in my office, you know that movie, The Passion of Christ, Mel Gibson movie, came out a couple years ago. Maybe most of you saw it. I bought a copy. Every now and then I watch it. I watched the first hour. And the first hour ends when they're whipping him. And if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. It's horrible. And I'm thinking about all this. I'm thinking about this morning. And I've got tears. I'm bawling. Why did you do that, Jesus? What were you thinking? Why did you let us do that to you? And then I heard a whisper. Love. Love. Plain and simple. Love. He said it himself to a man named Nicodemus in the middle of the night in secret. He looked at Nicodemus and he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Christians in Rome, he put it this way. He said, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Love. And today, where's Jesus now? Today, he's back in heaven. He's gone back, and he's preparing a place for us. He loves us so much, he wants us to join him in heaven. It's incredible. It's astounding. Doesn't even make sense. So I guess I'm left as I finish up with the question, well, how do we get there? How do we get there? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." But by me. You can't earn it. You'll never, never earn it. You'll never, never be good enough to get to heaven. You can't buy your way there. There's no way you've got enough money ever to buy your way into heaven. There's no way to reach heaven except through God's love, which was shown through his Son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross so that we could have our sin forgiven and have eternal life. I want to close with a story. I shared this story Friday at the funeral for Ruth, and it's a golfing story. The golf ball and I do not get along, but I really like playing golf. I could keep the golf ball companies in business for a long time. It's by Max Lucado. Lucado writes, "I make no claim to being a good golfer." That caught my attention. "I make no claim to being a good golfer, but I love to play golf, watch golf, and on really good nights, I dream about it. So when I was invited to attend the Masters Golf Tournament, I was thrilled. A pass to the Masters is the golfer's holy grail. Mine came via pro golfer Scott Simpson. Off we went to Augusta National Country Club in Georgia, where golf heritage hangs like moss from the trees. I was a kid in a candy store. It wasn't enough to see the course and walk the grounds. I wanted to see the locker room where the clubs of Ben Hogan and Paul Azinger are displayed. But they wouldn't